Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's our special guest with today's message.
In John 1, verse 18, this is the New International Version. John 1, verse 18, one of my favorite verses, it says, "No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God," and check this one out, "and is closest in relationship with the Father, he has made him known." Other translations would say that he has explained him, or he has revealed him. So unlike Quentin Tarantino, our Lord and God is very intentional about revealing himself, even though we have not seen him. In Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 4, we see Jesus in a response to the devil as he is being tempted. He says, "It is written," as he quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, "man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus reveals the Father to us. We have the wonderful gift of every word of the mouth of God in that revelation. My prayer this morning is that God will spark in us a deeper yearning for him, an insatiable appetite for his word and his ways in every space of our lives. Will you pray with me before we begin? Lord God, I thank you for every person and family represented in this room. Lord God, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. And God, I thank you for the privilege and opportunity to operate in this capacity this morning. But Lord God, more than anything, I know that everyone here longs to hear from you. And so I thank you in advance for your faithfulness to speak. And I ask earnestly that you would awaken our attention so that we have ears to hear you as you speak. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Philippians this morning, chapter 3. You'll notice that we have some ushers throughout the sanctuary who will be handing out a Bible if you need one. Just raise your hand and they'll get one to you. Most all of the scriptures we'll be looking at this morning will be projected on the screens, but if you'd like to follow along, we'd love for you to have one this morning. And if you don't have one at home, please take this one with you as our gift to you. We want to provide that for you. Thank you guys so much. Earlier this week, I was having lunch with a good friend of mine. And he's in a spot where his life is being shaken. And it's been going on for several weeks, and the future is very unclear. So he's dealing with some things that he has absolutely no control over, and also the repercussions of some decisions that he's now wrestling with. And he's being shaken. It's just a really rough time. So we were meeting together, having lunch, encouraging each other, just spending some time in, as I like to say, in the good company of each other and in God's presence. And as we were talking and eating, he said these words to me, and to be honest, I was floored because as he began to speak, the Lord began to speak. He said, "I've always seen God as a constant fixture in my life." And he's known the Lord for many years. He's had a family who's known the Lord, friends who know the Lord, so Lord's always been a constant fixture in my life. He's there. And in the off chance that I need him, he's available. And then he says, "But in these last few weeks, my eyes have been opened to the depth of my need and the expanse of his availability." See, my friend has had an awakening of his hunger for God. And what began in desperation and despair concern, and again, doubt. No resolution in this, in the present or in the future. Still many things to be decided. He's clinging to God, needing hope, needing forgiveness, needing love. And yet that has been growing into this knowledge of the fullness of God, because he's met with hope and love and understanding and forgiveness. He's met with the good company and the fullness of God. And even as we were talking, he said, I don't know what's to come in the days and weeks ahead, but I know this. I don't want to ever lose sight of the fullness and richness of God ever again. First opportunity to fill in the blanks on your outline. God is not merely a fixture in our lives. He is the fullness of life. See, there's a difference in knowing that God is present in your life and then actually engaging him for the fullness of life. And that's what my friend's heart is now soaking in, right? Jesus' words that we read in John 15, where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. It's David's prayer at the close of Psalm 16. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Right? My friend has received the good counsel of the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me. My heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in the grave. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, this is a knowing of God's fullness, and then a hunger to remain in the midst of it. We're currently studying week by week in the book of Philippians. Many of you know we've been in chapter 3 for a couple weeks now. And this morning I want us to revisit verses 8 through 11 because Paul so convincingly conveys this hunger in these verses. Let's look at it. Verse 8, this is the Amplified Bible. He says, but more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, a joy unequaled. Can I just say, it was so refreshing. It really was. It was a blessing to me to get a sense of that realization again, to see a heart awaken and alive in the fullness of God. I was like in the blast zone, if you will. You know what I mean? And so as the Lord hits him with revelation and power and assurance and faithfulness, and his heart comes alive, again, I got to feel that as it ripples out. At the same time, though, it was so heartbreaking to me to be reminded that for many of us, our experience is that he is a fixture in our lives and not the fullness. It was heartbreaking to think that there are many of us that we've lived decades with the Lord and yet engage him only in need. And not always, but for some of us, that is exactly our story. See, the following is an excerpt from Dominic Muir's devotional entitled God Hunger. Check this out. John Piper said, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply of him and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things. There is no room for the great. We all have a spiritual appetite as part of our makeup as human beings. In fact, this yearning for spiritual fulfillment is a constant in our daily life. The question is, where is our hunger being directed? If we are not hungry for the presence and the purposes of God, then you can be sure we are hungry for something else. People chase after many things in response to this hunger: financial security, career success, the praise and affirmation of others, relationships, and more. But only Jesus can impart the abundance of life we crave. I love that sentence. The more hungry for God we are, the more alive we are. The revivalist John G. Lake said that the most powerful prayer any Christian can pray is, "God, make me hungry for you." Would you join me just for a moment? And let's all bow our heads and let's just pray this prayer together. Just, "God, make me hungry." Let's go. Bow. Ready? "God, make me hungry for you." Amen. So be it. Second fill in the blank this morning. God is the sole sustainer, S-O-L-E, only, the one and only, mighty one. God is also our soul's sustenance. God is the joy unequaled. Let's pick it back up in the text, the latter part of verse 8, and then on into verse 9. Paul says, "For his sake I have lost everything. Consider it all garbage, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, believing and relying on him." See, as God awakens our hunger this morning, I pray he also awaken our interaction, that he would awaken our relying and our trusting in him. Corrie ten Boom once said, "I've learned to hold all things loosely because it hurts too much when God pries my fingers apart." For his sake, I've lost everything. But again, I want our hearts to own in so that I may gain Christ, believing and relying on him. I want for so much for our church. I am absolutely so grateful for this wonderful group of people that meet week in and week out, Wednesday nights and throughout the week in different home groups. But of all the things that we can enjoy together, my prayer more than anything is that each of us would gain Christ and would know him one-on-one, soul and savior. I want you to make a fist. I want you to, everybody, power to the people. Here we go. And you bring it. Now, with the fist, I want you to squeeze as tight as you can. For the guys, we're like, "Man, here we go." I had half a mind to have somebody extra beefy come up with one of those things where you can test your grip strength and see how strong we can get it, but you can just pretend right now you're killing the grip strength machine. But as you squeeze, I want you to, and again, if you don't mind, I mean, as absolutely tight a fist as you can make, I mean, give it every bit of your energy and muscular, have the brain work here. As you squeeze, I want you to begin to think, what is it that you are hanging on to so tightly in your own life? What is it that you must have control of in order to feel secure? Or what is it that you just absolutely want to fix? Or is there someone in your life, that, a spouse or a child, where the relationship is strained and you want to fix it and that you have no control? Your hand getting tired yet? Yes? Yeah. Is this sustainable? Absolutely not. Now, for those four of you that are still doing this, let's let go. Do you feel that? Could it be that our refusal to let go is what's keeping us from attaining the results and desires that God has for us. And Paul said, I've lost everything. I consider it all garbage. Like, I've let it go so that I may gain Christ. Some words from one of my favorite bloggers and one of my very good friends, Todd Thompson. He wrote many years ago, God, help us to let go of our pride that prevents us from being genuine leaders. God, help us to let go of our grudges that keep us from forgiving and forgetting and forging ahead. Help us to let go of our selfishness that makes us too small to be generous toward others. God, help us to let go of our self-sufficiency so that we are positioned to enjoy the blessings that you want to give to us. Man, let us lose whatever we need to lose so that we can gain Christ, so that we can receive Him. And again, in Todd's words, I know we focus on pride and on selfishness and on grudges, the unpredictability of the future. We do want to hang on to those things. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to control what happens next. And in some cases, we can't. But I can't leave this one thought without at least saying to anyone here in the room, if you're hanging on to something that you know is sinful, you know is just not right. I mean, you're hanging on to something in your life that is destroying you, even if it feels good. You know, long term, it's not sustainable. And not only that, it is as toxic as sin, secret, whatever it is. I encourage you this morning to let it go. Please, let it go, because it is no comparison to the salve of our Savior for your soul and for your life and for your stress level and your anxiety and your joy. So please, if anybody, let's lose whatever we need to lose so that we can gain Christ. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God's faithfulness is sure. Psalm 138:8 begins this way. This is the New American Standard, where it says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. The New King James would say, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The NIV, the Lord will vindicate me. English Standard Version, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. I love all the different avenues of this promise that we see in these translations. And finally, the New Living Translation, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. God will do this. His faithfulness is certain. But the question is he going to have to pry open our hands in order to do it? This makes me think of my sweet young man, Andrew Davis Weathers. There he is. He's 2 years old, and right now he is in the throes of, I do it. As you can see here, we get to go golfing with my dad most every Monday. His favorite thing in the world right now is getting a glass of water all by himself. He loves it. I do it. In fact, yesterday he was in the, I guess it was Friday, still this weekend, he was in the playroom with our middle kiddo, June. And he has one of those really small, little tight slides, right? And so she, 7, and huge for her, she's a big girl. I mean, very tall. So jumping over a slide is no big deal for her. She just hauls across the playroom and single bound leaps over it. Andrew goes, I do it. And he takes off and jumps and just, I mean, like, clips that slide, flips it, and then like boom, before you know it, he's under the slide and it's on top of him and his face is rolling. He's just like, anyway. I do it. He's not quite self-sufficient yet. He's so quick to get into things that are in over his head. And he loves going to the pool. Man, like, even just last year, he was a year old, right? And so if he got in the water last year, it was because his parents, like, dropped him in, right? This year, it's play in the water, play in the water. I go to the pool. And so he loves it, man. But it's funny because he can't swim yet. He's not self-sufficient in the pool yet. So if he is in the water, it's either me or my wonderful, beautiful wife, Denise, with him. When I am with him, man, it's just this constant interaction, right? And there's times when he'll get a little ahead of himself, and I'm right there to give him my wisdom or my experience or my balance, or he'll push me into the pool, and he thinks it's so funny, and we'll both laugh, and there's just this constant relationship, and there's this interaction, and this leaning, and this trusting. It's wonderful. I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it. And he loves it. There is a fullness. There is a joy unequaled when we hunger and rely and interact and open ourselves to the abundant life in Jesus Christ. Our God is a God who gives. Our God is a God who gives. This is who he is. He's also a very relational God. You'll notice in your outline, in your bulletin, if you have one, that I have three scriptures just listed there. John 17, Matthew 10, and Ephesians 4, 7. I did that so that you can take the outline home with you. And if you don't have an outline but you have a journal, I'll say them again. John 17, Matthew 10, and Ephesians 4, 7. And in each of these, they're just passages that really highlight God's giving nature, his character of generosity. And in John 17, it's the high priestly prayer. So this is where Jesus is praying moments before he goes to the cross and to the grave and to victory. And he spends time praying with his Father, praying to the Lord. And over a dozen times, he says, "Father, you have given me." In Matthew 10, the whole chapter is so sweet because this is where Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. And the very first thing in chapter 10, it says, Jesus gave them authority over demons and giving them the ability to heal sickness and all these things. But it's the first thing it says, Jesus gave them authority. And he goes on. It's really, Matthew 10 is so interesting. I know a lot of you are probably familiar with it. When you go back and just look at it from the perspective that our God is a giving God. He gives authority. He gives complete instructions. He gives encouragement, and he gives discernment. And then he even gives them people. He says, hey, don't go to Samaritans. Don't go to the Gentiles. Right now, I want you to focus on the lost sheep of Israel. There's just all this giving that God is doing, and they are. They're there receiving, right? Ephesians 4, 7, that's where it says that Jesus descended, and he who descended also ascended, and that he gives each of us a gift, a grace. Each of us. Our God is a giving God. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Ask, seek, knock, and he will give. You will find. The door will be opened. If you lack wisdom, ask our generous God who gives completely and without reproach to all. Our God is a God who gives. This is really deep. It's a heavy spiritual truth here. You ready? Write it down. God gives and gives and gives. God gives, and he gives, and he gives. I want to be clear, it's not on our terms, but it is for our best. If we need a season of lack, he'll give it to us because he loves us, right? So may we make room in our hearts and in our minds, and in our attention, and in our day. May we open up our schedule, our families. May we receive all that God has for us. One more quick look at Philippians chapter 3. This is verse 10 and 11. I'll post up the amplified version, but I've darkened all the amplified stuff. So this is the acoustic version, if you will. Because this is the way you'll see it in most translations. And this, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. By being continually conformed to his death, so that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And then when we do add the amplified, and this so that I may know him, experientially becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely. If you would allow me, just humor me for a second. I want to pray that over all of us. Lord God, may we know you. Jesus, may we know you experientially. May we become more thoroughly acquainted with you, understanding the remarkable wonders of your person more completely. Amen. And in the same way, experience the power of his resurrection, I love this, which overflows and is active in believers. May we experience the power of his resurrection, which is overflowing and active in believers. Now in Ephesians 4, also Paul's words, beginning in verses 4 through 6, this is the New American Standard Bible, it says this: there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then just a few verses down in the same chapter, he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Okay, so we ask God to awaken our hunger. We ask God to awaken our interaction and reliance and trust in him. And now finally, I'm going to ask that God would awaken our awareness of our connection to each other. As I read these verses, I have one more illustration I want to show you this morning. This is what I see. I see this. Just one version of the illustration. But I love this. Isn't it a beautiful instrument, right? Comprised of a mouthpiece and valves. I did some learning this morning. These are slides, and they slide when you know how to slide them. And then the bell as well. But each of these different, oh yeah, and then, you know, Lord bless the person who is the spit valve in the body here. Each of these pieces, though, crafted, fashioned, brought to their full form and shape and design, and then connected together. They make a body. It is his putting together. It is God's putting together. His fashioning, his fitting in our families and in our marriages, in our work relationships, in our friends, in our relatives, in our close relationships here in our church. But it is also our growth and development, as we read here in Ephesians. Right? As we grow up into the full maturity of the Lord, growing up into the likeness of Christ, we get to experience this. When we lean into our hunger for God, when we interact and rely and engage on him in his wisdom and his love in every corner of our lives, then we are in a position, we're connected in such a way to where we can be a part of his daring dream, his imagination, and his melody, as it says, flowing through all and in all. Again, like, This by itself doesn't make a whole lot of noise. I love how the Message Bible communicates this verse. Check it out. It says, God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. God wants us like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything that we do. He keeps us in step with each other. Amen. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. His very breath and blood. Again, this is beautiful. Our church group, our families, that they are, they're beautiful. But my goodness, our God is so amazing and so incredible. He can literally put anything together. Supply his breath and blood and his melody. Check this out.
And now the six finger holes that you notice that I've marked. So you do need, I'm actually using a saxophone mouthpiece I mentioned, but it still is a clarinet because it's a cylindrical bore, not conical. Oh, sorry, we've run out of time. I'll have to go. I've got 57 seconds left. Here we go.
Give God praise. Give God praise. Come on. His very breath and his blood flowing through us. I don't know about you, man, but that just gives me all kinds of crazy excitement when I watch that and think about that correlation. What God can do in his creativity and in his might with his melody. Nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. God is so much more than a rigid fixture stacked or stuffed somewhere in the busyness of our lives. He is a wild, rushing, flowing, fluid river of his own fullness, forgiveness, power, might, grace, and love. And I pray this morning that he would awaken our hunger for him with his fullness, that he would awaken our interaction and our trust and our reliance upon him because of his faithfulness and his beauty. And I pray that he would awaken our awareness of the connection that we have with each other, and his very breath resonating his melody in our hearts. Last outline. I pray we would continue to grow in every way into Christ. In every way. For He is a joy unequaled.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.